My name's Mark, if you don't know me. I'm the student worker here. It's great to be with you. And we've been having a series this autumn looking at the early chapters of Mark's Gospel. And today we come to Mark chapter 5. If you're following on in a church Bible, it's on page 1006. So let's read from the start of Mark chapter 5. Let's hear God's word for us this evening. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons, sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Let's pray together as we come to God's word. Father, thank you that your word is powerful, that you speak through it. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is present with us to bring your word into our hearts and to transform us through it. Please help us to listen to what you say, and please change us. In Jesus' name, amen. How do you react to evil and chaos in the world? When you see destruction and disorder and wicked things, how do you react to that? How do you feel about that? And where do you look for hope? Where do you look for answers in a world so full of evil and chaos? I wonder if we went out on the street and asked people that question, I wonder what answers we might get. Maybe some people might say, education. If everyone in the world had a proper education, well, then maybe there would be less evil and less chaos. Some people might say, better community, better social care. If everyone was truly cared for by someone, well, then that might restrain the tide of evil. Maybe some people would say the problem is with governments. If only every country had good leaders, if only every country had a fair democratic process, Maybe that's the thing we need to hold back evil. Maybe for some people, actually they've stopped looking for hope. Maybe they're not after answers anymore. They've just accepted this is the world we live in. Evil and chaos, they were facts of life. And so they've slowly become numb to the awful pictures on their TV screens. Where do you look for hope in a world that is full of evil and chaos? In these early chapters of Mark, as we've studied them, they tell the story of what happens when Jesus steps into the world. They tell the story of what happens when Jesus meets brokenness and disorder in the world. And as we've studied it, we've seen extraordinary things, haven't we? We've seen Jesus healing sickness, reversing paralysis, forgiving sin, freeing people from demons, stopping a hurricane with a word. But perhaps in Mark 5 today, we come to the starkest encounter yet that Jesus has had with evil. And as we look at it, here's what we're going to see, that Jesus' awesome authority brings peace from the most powerful, chaotic evil. So let's dive in at verse 1. They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. Now remember where Jesus and his disciples have just come from. Have a look up if you weren't here last week. Remember the roller coaster journey that they have just had. The furious hurricane, the waves crashing viciously over the boat. And then Jesus stands up and says, "Quiet, be still." And it's completely calm. And the disciples sail on into the night, wondering what on earth has just happened. And then land approaches on the other side of the lake. It might still be night, it might be early the next morning, and they come into shore and they work out where they can moor up the boats. And as Jesus steps off the boat, there is a man in the distance coming towards them. But something doesn't look right about him. As he gets closer to them, he starts to run, and now they can see this man is completely ravaged. He's got hair everywhere. His eyes are wild. He's naked, we find out in verse 15. His body is bruised and cut all over. And now he's running full pelt towards them, sprinting. And they can see there's chains hanging off his arms. And he's got deep imprints of shackles where his ankles are. This man is terrifying. He is a picture of complete chaos. What on earth has happened to him? Well, verse 2 tells us, he is a man with an impure spirit. He has a demon, an evil spiritual being inhabiting him. We don't know how it came to be there. Maybe in some way he opened himself up to evil spirits in the past. We don't know. But what is very clear is the effect that this demon has had on this man's life. In the hands of this demon, this man has become a powerful vehicle of destruction. Just look at verses 3 and 4. The people who are nearby are terrified of this man. He is a threat to them. He is a monster. Maybe they drove him out to live in the tombs, or maybe the demon took him there. But either way, they still don't feel safe from him. And so they've tried to chain him up over and over again. You can imagine the scene. They get all the strongest men from the town and they go out into the hills, into the tombs, and they find the man and they pin him down after a struggle. And they get chains and they tie them tightly on his wrists and they put irons on his feet and they chain him up tightly. And then they step back. And they watch in horror as he just tears the chains off as if they're paper. And he smashes the irons on his feet. And now they're running. They're desperate to escape this man who they cannot subdue. the destructive power that the demon has given this man, it cannot be tamed. Mark really wants us to see that, doesn't he? In verse 3, no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Verse 4, no one was strong enough to subdue him. The demon has made this man incredibly powerful and violently destructive. And unsurprisingly, he is cut off from every form of community. And so, verse 5, night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. Left all alone, this man wanders among people's graves day and night, crying out, yelling, screaming to no one in particular. And he turns his violence on himself as he finds the sharpest stones he can and he scratches and he wounds his own body. This man is terrifying, but he's also pitiful. This demon within him has seared his life with chaos and destruction. And now in verse 6, here he is running wildly towards Jesus, chains flailing everywhere. And just look at the conversation that follows. Take a moment, just look down and look at it. What happens when this terrifyingly powerful man, who no one can subdue, meets Jesus? What happens when it turns out it's not just one demon, it's a whole army of demons, a whole legion? What happens when they come face to face with Jesus? Well, what happens is that Jesus is utterly in charge. Jesus has total authority. The man approaches Jesus. There isn't even a struggle. Jesus doesn't have to do anything. The man just falls on his knees in front of him and starts pleading. And as he opens his mouth, the demons speak. What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. They know exactly who Jesus is. And they know that he has the authority and the right to do exactly what he wants with them, including to punish them for their wickedness and their evil. Now you might wonder, as you scan the conversation, why haven't the demons already come out? In verse 8 it says Jesus had already said to them, come out of this man, you impure spirits. Why hadn't they obeyed him? Well, I don't know exactly why. But what is clear is that it's not because Jesus is in any way lacking authority. Just look at how the conversation goes on. Verse 10, the demons beg Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Verse 12, the demons beg Jesus to send them into the pigs. The demons have no choice but to obey Jesus. And they can only go anywhere with his permission. It's not just that they have to come out. Where they go next is not up to them. It's entirely up to Jesus. I don't know why they don't want to leave the area. I don't know why they'd rather go into the pigs. The point is, it's not their decision. It's entirely in the hands of Jesus. Jesus has total, awesome authority over this legion of powerful evil spirits. And so, verse 12, the demons begged Jesus, send us into the pigs, allow us to go into them. He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. And I guess the question on many of our minds is, why the pigs? Why did the demons want to go there? Why did Jesus let them go there? I don't think we know fully why Jesus allowed the demons to go there. I don't know if, as we read a gospel like Mark, I don't know if we should expect to know everything the reason for everything that Jesus does. But maybe a particular thing that kind of troubles us here is, isn't it unkind of Jesus? Isn't it unkind to the people who own the pigs to watch a whole huge chunk of their livelihood drown in a moment? That's a really good question. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on. Isn't it unkind for the pigs themselves? They're just kind of innocent bystanders, the collateral damage in the story. Well, I think one thing we must remember as we think about that is that Jesus created these pigs. Jesus made them, and therefore he owns them. And he has the right, as their creator, to do the thing that he wants to do with them, including to take away the life that he gave them in the first place. So why the pigs? I don't think we know a full answer. But there is something which I think is clear, and I think this is the thing that Mark wants us to see from this story, and perhaps it's what Jesus wanted the people to see as well. Just imagine that scene in verse 13. There is this huge herd of pigs grazing on a hill. 2,000 of them. Just to give you an idea, for you, the grass on New Square, both bits of grass outside, if you imagine both of them completely rammed full of pigs, it's a bit of an odd thought, you probably won't see that, but if you imagine that, that is how many pigs we're talking about, out on a hillside grazing. And suddenly, they all turn and face down the hill and start charging. And they get faster and faster heading for the lake. And as they reach the water's edge, they don't stop. They just go straight in, head first, underwater, flailing around. There's more pigs coming behind, pushing the front ones further and further in until all of them are in the water. And gradually it quietens down. And you can hear less and less splashing until eventually nothing. And as you look out from the shore, all you can see are floating pig corpses. That is the kind of violence and destruction and horror which those spirits cause. That is a picture of how they wreak havoc and evil and chaos. And that is what this man has been rescued from. If that picture we had of his own life wasn't enough, if we weren't already terrified and appalled by him, naked, bruised and cut, howling in the tombs, well, now we've got another picture to put alongside that. A picture of a watery grave, thousands of pigs' bodies bobbing around on a lake. And as we look at those pictures in horror and in disgust, look what's happened for the man, verse 14. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Here is the result of Jesus acting in his authority. Here is this man, the same man who we met, running, screaming, naked, chains flailing everywhere. Here he is, sitting, dressed, and in his right mind. All the havoc, all the destruction that is brought by the army of demons, it's gone. That chaotic, powerful legion of evil is overcome in a moment and banished. And the man is restored to life and peace in a way which seemed completely impossible. He can start again. He can re-enter community. He's got a lifetime ahead of him. Not of madness anymore, but of sanity and peace. Here is what happens when Jesus enters our world. Here is what happens when Jesus meets the chaos within our world. So let me pause for a moment and ask you again, where do you look for hope in a world full of evil and chaos? Because we live in the same world as this man did. We still experience this reality of personal evil spirits at work in the world. Of course, what it looks like might be different. And of course, there are blurry lines, aren't there, between the evil actions of humans and the actions of evil spirits. And we mustn't think that every time something bad happens, we should attribute that to the specific action of a demon. But I imagine for most of us here this evening, actually the danger is the other way. I imagine for most of us the danger is we ignore the reality of the devil and demons. We need to see this kind of evil is a reality in our world. And we need to see as well that any merely human effort to overcome it ultimately will fail. Better government, more education, better community and social care, more charity work. Those are brilliant things, but none of them ultimately have the power to bring true peace from evil. Only Jesus does. Only Jesus has that authority. And Mark's gospel announces Jesus has come to do exactly that. Jesus has come to announce that a new kingdom has broken into our world. A kingdom where evil beings are banished and peace rules. And today, Jesus is still advancing his kingdom. Jesus is still at work in the world. He is still bringing freedom from evil for people and for places and for situations. And one day he will establish his kingdom over the whole world. One day he'll banish not just a legion of demons, but every evil being. One day in his utter authority, he will declare full and final peace from evil. In a world that is full of chaos, our only ultimate hope is Jesus. So next time, I don't know, you're reading the news and something awful, something evil has happened, let me ask you, will you pray? Will you bring it to Jesus? And of course, pray for good government response, good community response. Pray for aid or legal justice, and maybe even be part of making those things happen, of course. But will you also pray like this? Lord Jesus, it seems like there is evil at work in this situation. It's tied up with human sin as well, but Lord Jesus, please intervene. Please bring peace from this evil. Please extend your kingdom in this place through the gospel. And Lord Jesus, please come soon and put an end to all evil. Lord Jesus, we are desperate for peace that only you can ultimately bring. Will you pray like that when you see evil at work in the world? Well, in the rest of the passage, we see two reactions to Jesus' authority. A reaction of fear and a reaction of faith. Have a look at verse 14 with me. We've just seen the pigs drown. And understandably, the pig farmers leg it. And as they go, they are telling everyone they meet. The pigs, it was that guy, you know, the crazy guy from the tombs, and then there were these guys on the boat, and someone was talking to, and now he's kind of normal, but the pigs, you just go and see. And people are gradually drifting out of their homes, and a crowd forms heading towards the lake. verse 15. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You can imagine the crowd faltering and stopping as they come up to this man, and silence falls. Maybe a few people are whispering to him, is that really him? Yeah, it's definitely him, it's him. But he's normal. He's okay. What's happened? Who on earth could have done this? And their eyes turn to Jesus. And Mark says, they are afraid. Verse 16. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. I wonder what you make of that reaction. I don't know about you, I have quite a lot of sympathy with it, to be honest. I mean, there they are, they're thinking, what kind of powerful man has just done this? Just ridded this crazy, chaotic, evil man of that power. And then someone explains, well, he sent the demons into the pigs, and they look across the lake, and they see that gruesome sight, the bodies floating there. Surely it's natural for them to be afraid. Surely the natural thing is for them to do what they do in verse 17 and ask Jesus to leave. But there is something they're not seeing, isn't there? No one is looking at the man. No one is seeing what has happened for him. These people, their fear of Jesus' power has blinded them to the fact that that power has brought restoration and peace and life. They're so disturbed by what's happened to the pigs, they can't see that the very same destructive power that did that is what this man has just been freed from. I think that is the point of the pigs for these people. I think they're meant to go, well, those spirits are terrifying. And I wish we hadn't lost our pigs, but thank goodness it was them and not this man. Thank goodness he is free from their power. But they don't. They can't see it. And so they stay in their fear. And they plead with Jesus to leave. And so Jesus leaves. Maybe for someone here this evening, that reaction is familiar for you. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not a Christian, and the thing that is stopping you coming to Jesus is fear. Maybe you've read about his power and his authority, and if you're honest, you are scared of someone that powerful. Scared of how Jesus might change and disrupt your life. And so, like the crowd, you'd rather stick with the status quo. If that's you, I'm so glad you're here. Can I say, please don't miss the good which has come from Jesus acting in authority. Please see how his power has brought peace and restoration and life. Yes, Jesus is incredibly powerful. Yes, he has all authority. And he uses those things for our good. So will you step beyond your fear and come to Jesus in faith? Well, that is exactly the second reaction that we see. Have a look at verse 18. The man is not afraid of Jesus. The man doesn't want Jesus to leave. In fact, he is desperate to stay with Jesus. All he wants to do is be with the one who set him free. But Jesus says no. In verse 19, Jesus did not let him, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. and all the people were amazed. It can't have been easy for this man to hear, can it? Suddenly his life has been restored, and all he wants to do is go with the one who's rescued him. And Jesus says no. Why? Why doesn't Jesus let him come? Well, look at what he says instead. Go home to your own people. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you. The Decapolis, where this is all set, is a Gentile area. And this is the first time Jesus has gone there. He's hardly got off the beach, and now he's going to be going straight back. The people there, they just don't have much opportunity to hear about Jesus. And so Jesus says to the man, I want you here. I'm putting you here among your own people so they get a chance to hear about me too. And the man, perhaps amid confusion, trusts Jesus. He has faith that Jesus knows best. And so he goes home, maybe to his old friends, neighbors, maybe even family. And then he goes further afield as well, and he tells them everything which has happened. He tells them about Jesus' incredible power and authority. And he tells them about how Jesus used that to show him mercy. So what can we take away from this man's example? I imagine probably none of us have had an experience anything like this. But listen to something that Paul writes in the book of Colossians, later in the New Testament, as he writes a letter to a group of ordinary Christians. Listen to what he says, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. That is what God has done for every Christian. Do you see the point? If you are a Christian this evening, this man's story is your story. The dominion of darkness is where we all were. We might not have been there so visibly as this man was, but that is where we all were, under the power and the authority of darkness and sin and the devil. That might seem hard to grasp. Maybe you're like me, and to be honest, you can't really remember a time when you didn't follow Jesus. And the idea of being in a dominion of darkness, it might just feel alien to you. But Colossians 1 says, without God's intervention, that is where we would be. And so we need stories like this to show us what the dominion of darkness is like. We need pictures like the man howling in the tombs, cut and bruised, naked, alone. We need pictures like a lake with 2,000 floating pig corpses bobbing around. We need to know that is the kind of evil, destructive power that we have been rescued from. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Through Jesus' death on the cross, through his resurrection to new life, we're taken from the kingdom of the devil to the kingdom of Jesus, the Son God loves. Have you grasped what an enormous thing that is? Have you grasped what a terrible position you've been rescued from? And have you grasped how wonderful the peace and light of Jesus' kingdom are? And will you go and tell others? Will you do what this man did? Will you go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you? Jesus has put you where you are for a reason. University, Cambridge more generally, in your family, on your course, in your workplace, in your street. He's put you where you are for a reason. And part of that reason is so that your own people, the people around you, get a chance to hear what Jesus has done for you. Will you trust him with where he's put you? And will you tell people? Will you tell your work colleagues? Will you tell your course mates? Will you tell your family? Will you tell your neighbors? Will you tell them what Jesus has done for you and how he has had mercy on you? Jesus' awesome authority brings peace from powerful, chaotic evil. Is he your hope for a broken world? Are you longing for that day when he will bring full and final peace from evil? And will you tell others how he has rescued you so they can find hope in him too? Let's pray together. Let's have a moment of quiet to speak to God ourselves about what he said to us. Father God, we praise you for Jesus' incredible, complete, awesome authority. And we praise you that he has used that to bring us peace from the most terrible evil. Father, we long for his return. As we see evil and chaos in the world, we long that he would come and put an end to it. Please, Lord Jesus, come soon. And Father, in the meantime, help us to tell others what he has done for us so that they can have hope in him too. And we pray in his name. Amen.